Hi, this is Shannon from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Neil.
Hey, welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 61 on Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 7, Snafu. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast, a fan cast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because after seeing that kid tear through us in Russia, I'd hate to tangle with one that's all grown up.
If you'd like to talk to us about Russian kids, you can find all of our contact information on legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search for Gunna Geek, all one word, on the Tapatalk app.
We said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Lauren is gone. She's doing her Black Widow training. I'm very scared about what's going to happen when she comes back, because not only will she be in Black Widow training and be a fully trained Black Widow, but she's going to have missed podcasting on the last two episodes of the Agent Carter event. It's just going to be scary when she gets back. But she's not here this week. We asked Neil to step in. Neil?
Hey, thanks, guys. My pleasure. Really looking forward to joining this cast. I've been listening, to the last crew, and now to be able to join the new and improved Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
That's right. Improved.
Yeah. Don't let Wing hear that.
Are you kidding? I'm going to tell him about this.
Yeah. I'll tell him about it Friday night on Starling Tribune as we podcast about Arrow. But also, we have a little side note here, Haley.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week, but we'll say it again. Geekation is coming up in May 15th through the 17th, but you can come early and stay late if you want. It's going to be in Chicago. We're going to get together and party and talk about geeky stuff. So if you're interested in those kinds of things, you should definitely go. And you can find all the information on the Gunna Geek website. It'll be on the right-hand side. If you scroll down a little ways, you'll see the Geekation banner, and you can click on that. But this is not officially sanctioned by Gunna Geek, because people are lame.
Steven doesn't have enough money for insurance, I think. I think that's what it is. Which, again, as I mentioned last week, means it's an awesome party. So have fun with that. So we've got Geekation going. We've got Lauren on her Black Widow training. We got Neil in. I got to tell you, in advance, I will not be here next week. Lauren's going to be gone, so Haley's going to be running the crew. So the crew's going to be up to Haley.
I am driving this bus.
It's going to be crazy.
Stuff's going to go down, guys. It's going to be crazy. Go nuts.
Going to be cray-cray. So there you go. Well, this week we had the penultimate Agent Carter episode. Yeah, see, I used the big word there, penultimate.
Yeah, very fancy.
It's about the only big word I'll use this podcast. Yeah, uh-huh. And I actually looked who directed and wrote it, because I think it was the best Agent Carter episode yet, but that's just me. And so it was directed by Vincent Messiano, who's been around TV since the 80s, the late 80s. He's been involved in Ally McBeal, or Single White Female Lawyer, if you're of that ilk.
Single female lawyer fighting for her clients.
She even knows the theme song. That's awesome.
That's impressive. Yeah.
He was also involved in Ed, which if you go over to Flash, you'll see Ed as the not-so-crippled Dr. Harrison Wells.
Dr. Bad Guy.
Yeah, there you go. West Wing, The 4400, Prison Break, even Warehouse 13, Medium, and 5 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 2014. So he's been around, and it will be awesome seeing him direct even more Marvel stuff as we go forward. And it was written by Chris Dingus, who is also an Agent Carter executive producer. He wrote for Ed. He wrote for Men in Trees. He wrote for Being Human And this is his only Agent Carter writing credit. But after watching this episode, I'm like, I want more. So there you go.
It makes you wonder if these guys actually work together, because a lot of their credits overlap. And maybe that's why there's great synergy between the writing and the directing and the cinematography in this episode. So exciting.
I think that happens a lot. People work together and get to know each other and they decide, hey, let's work together again, because I know you do a good job.
Yeah, it was an incredibly produced episode. Hayley Atwell really shone in this episode, even though it was her darkest hour, so to speak, in the series so far. It was just, it was amazing. And Chief Dooley, oh my goodness, Chief
Dooley.
And
the scenes between Hayley Atwell and James Darcy were fantastic this week.
Yeah.
Even more so than usual.
You know, the scene with the table in the interrogation room, that was so needed at that point in time. I'm like, I need a little break from everything. And they're like, well, should we
and there was.
Break the window or should we, I don't know, what if there's people back there? I'm like, if there's people
what
back
there,
they're
going to the other side.
They're going to come and get you. I mean, come on. They're going to see what you're doing.
They're probably going to stop you.
You would think, right?
There's a problem. We're still attached to a table. We are still attached to a table.
They broke a window with the table. I think they could break the table. It didn't look like one of those 50s metal tables. It looked like, you know, a wooden table. You can break a wooden table.
I don't know. It's a pretty sturdy wooden table.
Well, they just, I mean, you got a bunch of glass laying around. You just take the table up over them and you just crack it in half or something. I don't know.
Now, this is when they still made cars out of steel. So I'm sure the tables were better constructed back then, too.
Well, like when they were like pounding on Dooley's door, like they couldn't possibly break it down. It's a big glass window.
It's Peggy Carter. She could do it, man. You see how she whipped on those bad guys in Germany? I mean, come on. Or Russia?
Russia.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, this was, where do you guys want to start? Because this was just bang, bang, bang.
In the
middle. Entire...
It's always the best place to start.
In the middle. Okay. So where's the middle for you?
Well, I started with the Peggy Carter Jarvis scene because that was fantastic. Actually, both of their scenes alone together were great this week. Like when she was like, did Howard write that confession, Mr. Jarvis? Did you write that confession, Mr. Jarvis?
Well, about that.
Just the looks on his face.
I know.
And she knew the minute that Mr. Jarvis started to get a bit shifty eyed in
the
that room.
The hemming and hawing.
Yeah, the gig was up right then.
And he comes in so sure of himself, too. He comes in the operating room, not like medical operating, but the telephone operating room, right? And he comes in there like, this is the SSR. I need to see the chief now.
Okay. Rose with the pistol under her little work area reminded me so much of the old lady in the pawn shop with the shotgun.
Yes.
From Captain America 1.
Was it a shotgun or was it a machine gun? I thought it was a machine gun.
Oh, it was a machine gun. You're right.
It was a machine gun.
That was my bad. Haven't seen it in a while.
It's all right. It's all weaponry, right? Things that go boom.
Yep.
It
spray
did.
Bullets either way.
It did. And they're all in on it, right? They're all like basically secretaries or whatever. They're doing a secondary job, but they know that the SSR is in there. And so when he mentions the sign of confession by Howard Stark, they all just immediately shut up. It was good scene. Good scene.
I think if we're sticking in the middle of the episode as well, there's a callback to last week's cast as well, where you guys discussed whether or not it was Morse code or some special code. And I really liked seeing the interplay between Peggy and Jarvis when they both knew it was Morse code and were both able to figure it out.
Okay, so is everybody that works in the SSR that's not named just a complete moron? Nobody notices anything that's going on except for Peggy Carter and Thompson and Sousa.
It certainly seems like that, doesn't it? It's like your typical government organization, and they're supposed to be highly trained, but, I mean, look at... Oh, I'm not even going to say his name. Please say it for me. The one that was murdered by Dottie.
I don't remember his name.
Kerminsky.
Yep. There it was. Oh, Kerminsky. Kerminsky.
You made me say it anyway. Dang it. And I said it wrong again. Anyway, look at him. He was, you know, he's competent, but he just... Yeah, they're all kind of that ilk, and even Dooley... If you compare Dooley to Fury or Dooley to Coulson, he just doesn't match up. He tries hard, but it's like he doesn't know the world around him has changed and he's doing his best, but he just isn't measuring up.
See, I get the feeling that he was probably a really good soldier and he was really good in the war and he's just out of his depth when it comes to running an intelligence agency.
I have to agree. And the only one that was consistently in not only this episode, but in the last episodes, really on top of his game and competent was Sousa. He putting together the dossier, looking at the back of the photograph, putting the pieces of evidence together. And then at the beginning, as Dr. Ring said, It was the mountain or the wall of evidence that she was faced with.
Yeah.
The interrogation scene, the triple interrogation scene where you had Sousa, Thompson, and Dooley all interrogating Agent Carter or Ms. Carter at the time. It was some great cinematography. You had continual dialogue going on back and forth. They were cutting back. You didn't know what was coming at you, basically, at any point in time. But Haley, you mentioned that outside of our main cast, nobody else knows what's going on. And those three were about the best. And they went at Carter as hard as they could. And Carter was taking some knocks during that. She didn't come out squeaky clean.
Well, no, because whatever her reason behind it was, she has been working against them this entire time. So, of course, they're not going to believe her when she says, oh, yeah, I was working against you, but on this one thing over here, I wasn't.
Right. And they were going back and forth, and they were fixated on the captain's blood. And I think the turning point in the episode...
Well, no, they didn't know that that was Cap's blood at that point.
Right. And I think the turning point in the episode is when she came clean with that. Because it was Steve Rogers. She still hung up on Steve Rogers. And this was important to her and why she hung on to it. And she had to describe that to them. And they were like, yeah, well, I saw her in action. She's a badass. She's on our side. This makes sense. We can start believing in her, but we have to verify it. So I think that was the start of the turning point, that she was coming back into the SSR. And then when the chief looked right at her, he knew he was going to die. He looked right at her and said, make this right. And she said, I promise I will.
Yeah, I think going back to the interrogation scene, I think that was the first time that all three guys realized, as much as she was the one, or Agent Carter or Miss Carter was the one that was in handcuffs, for the first time, these guys realized they weren't in control of this situation, that they were being played, they were being led through this entire investigation one step behind. And Chief Dooley said it. He said, like, holy cow, are you good? And I think for me, that was one of the most satisfying parts of the entire season so far, because finally these guys got it, that they're not in front of this whole situation. They're two steps behind.
Yeah. But she also realized that she didn't have all the answers either. So it's not like they can work singularly. It was a two-way street. They all came to the conclusion that they needed to work together in order to beat this Leviathan threat that had hit them at home so many times. I mean, this is the third agent, right, that's died at the hands of Leviathan now? Because you had Yonk, you had Krasinski, and you have Dooley now.
And Yonk. And then, well, I guess he wasn't an agent, but you had Junior Juniper in, where was it? Oh, Russia.
And in theory, you had everybody back in the factory at the beginning that was imploded when that first bomb went off as well.
True.
Yeah, Leviathan is big bad. Big bad.
But she was right. Until everything was laid out on the table, they wouldn't have believed her if she'd come to them with bits of evidence at a time during the course of her investigation.
Yeah, it would have been ignored and like, hey, thank you, little girl. Sit down in the corner. The big boys are going to actually do their jobs now. I could see that.
Right. And I mean, when she first started trying to talk to them about it, they were like, oh, you're just infatuated with Howard Stark. And they completely dismissed everything she said. And they would have continued doing that if she had kept pushing it with them.
Yeah. And she said it. She said right to their faces, because unless I have your reports, your coffee or your lunch, I'm invisible. And they finally got it.
Right. Adam brought up in chat, didn't Dottie kill at least one SSR agent in her escape from the dentist's office? And yeah, I think it was more than one. I think it was more like three or so.
Right. And all of them had to stare at her for like 10 seconds with their guns pointed at her before she roundhouse kicked them in the face.
Pull the dang trigger. Ugh.
I know. I was shouting at my TV the first time I watched this.
Right. And Dottie had some moves. Man, that stairwell thing.
Oh. Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that stairwell was awesome.
She's coming down fast.
That was like Iron Man fast. That was, ugh. She had some skill. It's like she had to practice that.
Although you have to give it up for Sousa, when at least he almost held his own and he had some pretty mad crutch foo skills there in the hallway.
Well, when it's the only weapon you have, you better learn to use it.
Well, he had a gun. He just didn't use it. So then he was stuck using the crutch.
I know. Ugh.
Idiots.
Well, yeah. Okay. So then Thompson runs out in the middle of the street after the whole thing and he's waving his gun around and nobody's like, oh, woo gun or something. I loved New York City. They didn't care. It's like, oh, is that a licorice gun? I don't know. Who cares? It's like, really? I mean, if that would happen. Yeah. If that would happen today, people would be running.
You know, speaking of Thompson, though, I don't know for you guys, but this was the first episode, even more so than in Russia, where I actually kind of liked him. And I kind of hated myself for doing it because he was such a jerk the entire season. But he was finally, he got on board with it. He was playing good cop during the interrogation. And you wanted to believe that he was playing good cop because he actually understood that not everything was how it seemed. I was like, I can't like this guy. He's a jerk.
Yeah, I put in my notes, Thompson is good cop and Sousa is bad cop. It's like, what has happened to this world?
Yeah, they flipped roles, at least in the interrogation. But I think Thompson's underlying personality is still there. I mean, it's how he thinks of the world, and I don't think that's really going to change unless you guys see it changing.
I think it is.
Yeah, I do too, actually.
Okay.
In fact, I think we have seen him change, especially in the Russia episode and in this episode. We've seen some growth in his character.
Well, we've seen growth, but I'm just cautiously optimistic, I guess.
Shoddy police work.
And speaking of that, you know, after Thompson runs back across the street waving his gun in the air, Sousa stayed behind to keep investigating in the dentist's office. And again, got to give it up for Sousa in this one. He's actually doing his job.
I can't believe Dottie didn't dump that body somewhere.
Yeah. It's not like they have medical waste or something like that. It would have been discovered with all the flies and stuff around it, wherever it was, even in a dumpster. It would have been discovered when they picked up the trash.
Well, I mean, she knows how to get rid of a body. Come on. That's like Black Widow training 101.
We can ask Lauren when she comes back how to dispose of a body.
That's right. When they know that they're going to attack the SSR headquarters, it's relatively short time period. I don't think that was a priority for her, but maybe.
Well, and how much time has passed since she killed that dentist?
I would think it'd be a couple of days, right?
Okay, so he sent his staff home early, like on a Friday. They're going to be back in on Monday and notice a rotting corpse, one would think.
Yeah, unless they all just left and quit because
he's a creeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through how many outfit changes Peggy Carter had, and I think it's mainly one, so maybe it was next day.
So maybe all of this has happened over the course of a day or two.
Or the weekend, maybe, yeah.
That's plausible.
Like this was a Saturday?
Yeah, that would make sense. Everyone's going to the movie on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And what's Leviathan doing there? What is up with that?
They got to test it to make sure it works.
They were testing what? Something to make everybody go mad and beat each other to a bloody pulp?
Yeah.
Yeah, angry gas.
It's murder gas.
Ooh, murder gas even better than angry gas.
This is why we should ban babies from theaters.
I know. That and they cry, right?
Just another reason.
Dottie goes to buy the carriage, and I'm thinking of two separate things, and I'm thinking of the carriage in Untouchables. If you've ever seen that movie, Haley, you haven't, have you?
No, of course I haven't.
Neil, have you seen that?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Do you know what scene I'm talking about at the end?
Yes, yeah, totally.
Okay, so yep. And it's almost the same carriage, so was thinking of that, but also it's Dottie, right? So I'm thinking of Trisha Helfer in the miniseries of Battlestar Galactic. So I'm like, something bad's gonna happen. I don't know what it is, but something bad's about to happen. Anyway, remember when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started in season one and they started having all of these references intertwined in the series to Captain America, Hulk, whatever, and they did it every single episode and it was like, okay, pay attention to us. We're part of Marvel. See these references, whatever. They continue in Agent Carter to give referent time references instead of Marvel related references, like Jimmy Cagney. Do you guys catch that?
Yeah, but I don't know who that is.
No, I caught that. And I think it all comes down to wanting to set the scene. And I think that's probably one of the marks of good writing. They can show you something by putting people in fedoras, suits, and really short ties. But if they can make the characters sound and interact with their contemporaries in that time period, then yeah, that's doing more. It's building the universe for you.
So Dooley goes out with a bang, literally.
Too soon.
Ugh.
That was amazing. That run, it was I couldn't be sure if it was a stunt double or not, but all of a sudden he looked a little younger, so who knows. But anyway, he goes out the window, and so who's left in charge? I mean, you got Sousa, you've got Carter, and you've got Thompson. Who's going to take over?
Thompson's going to take over.
Okay.
He's going to start calling the shots, and then Peggy's going to be like, no, you're an idiot. This is what you should do. And he's going to listen to her.
In fact, we already saw that, but maybe we skipped the Thompson scene. As soon as they realized the vest was going to overload, it was Peggy who said, someone get the scientist, and everybody snapped to it. And at that moment, Peggy was calling the shots in the SSR office. And I think that's the first time we actually see that, hey, everybody will listen to her in a crisis mode. Maybe we've finally gotten there. Maybe we, we start moving to Agent Carter becomes the director of the SSR slowly.
Yeah, the one shot is still part of the universe.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to send somebody else to be director of the SSR, and that person's going to come in and not respect and understand Peggy Carter. So she's going to sneak off in the middle of the night and be a badass, and then come back the next day and get put in charge.
Hmm.
Like we saw in the short.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, this so-called Dr. Fenhoff, that's his original name, or maybe that is still his name and his first... It's the Russian guy with the ring.
Dr. Faustus.
Faustus?
I think is what you're trying to think of.
Okay. In the transcript, it said Fenhoff. Okay. Faustus. Oh. Is that his name, Faustus?
Well, Faustus is a character in the comics.
Okay.
I thought they were saying Ivanov or whatever his name has been the entire time, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, and Adam in the chat actually refers to him as Dr. Faustus as well, and making reference to the comics.
Okay, so Dr. Faustus, who I have not read in the comics, he has this, because I haven't read a lot of comics, I mean, a sci-fi guy, whatever. So anyway, he's twirling the ring, and he's doing his technique, and they give a little background that he actually had to use it for Russian soldiers in 1943, but where did he get the ring before that? Where did he get the technique? I mean, is this something that we need even more backstory, or is that his origin?
See, at this point, I'm wondering if it's the ring or if it's just him, and twirling the ring is just something he does as a nervous habit or whatever.
I wonder if it, you see, I flip-flop on this one. Sometimes I think it's like a hypnotist using the watch or some other shiny object, and maybe it catches the light. But then they overlay that sound effect every time he does it, that high-pitched keening, which makes me wonder, well, maybe there's something more than just, you know, the shiny repetitive object for hypnosis.
See, I was wondering if he's kind of like Raina. If he is an inhuman and he's kind of like Raina and his ability is kind of mental influence on other people.
Yeah, maybe he is like that and he just doesn't know it yet. It could be.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. But I also agree with you, Neil, that sound, and I don't know if that's just meant to say, okay, he's doing it now, or if it's actually something that's happening. I have no idea. So, but he has this technique, and I'm just wondering where he learned it to start off with. Because, okay, the reason I bring this up is every single time he hypnotizes somebody, he always takes them to a happy place. And I know it's part of the technique, but I don't think that's completely part of the technique. I think he likes them to have a last good moment before their demise. Am I wrong on that? Am I going up the wrong path?
No, I think you're on the right path, because the reason he's working for Leviathan is because if he didn't, he would have been killed like that other guy was. So it's not like he's a true believer or anything. This is just what he has to do.
Mm.
I think he's moved from that, though. I actually think that that was a bit of a, in the jail cell in Russia, it was a bit of an act for him. And he's improvising on the fly. He's not just doing the bare minimum with regards to taking out the SSR office. He's changing the schedule, and Dottie's listening to him when he proposes new things. So I think he's in on it at the highest levels at this point. He's a true believer.
He is at the highest levels, but I don't think it's because he's a true believer. I think it's just because that's where he's ended up on the course of doing what he had to do to stay alive.
Almost like Garrett in season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he's bringing these people into the hypno world or whatever. It reminded me so much of the Star Trek Generations ribbon world, right? Where Picard or whoever gets sucked into this ribbon and it's like, oh, I want to be in the house with the little French girl and boy and the Christmas tree and stuff like that. It was like just too eerily like that for me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? You've never seen Star Trek Generations? Are you kidding me? Oh, jeez,
no.
Neil, back me up, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Listen, he takes them to their happy place, and that's been an ongoing trope in so much. I totally get the Star Trek reference, but we see people taking people to their happy places in so many different shows. I just think it's an easy way to write that, where we all just nod our heads and go, yep, I buy that.
Okay. So I was wondering if this was actually a timeline thing where it would go forward in the future and become the ribbon. And so then we'd need a Star Trek time travel story in the next Star Trek movie to come back and prevent Leviathan from existing in the first place. See, that would be hashtag it's all connected. But apparently not.
Wow.
Because Haley hasn't seen Star Trek Generations.
No, sure. Makes sense. Whatever.
Whatever makes you happy, man.
What you're saying is we need more sci-fi on TV.
What I'm saying is, for the record, I find you repulsive.
How rude.
It was a bit rude. You know, when he said that, I'm like, really? Really? You had to go there? Repulsive? Ah.
Come on, you gave this guy your business card 2 weeks ago. You guys were chill.
Right. So we know that the business card's not going to play any. We were like, oh, he's going to call him at the last minute or something. No, it's not happening.
Probably not going to happen.
No. So Leviathan's up to bad stuff.
No.
They've tested out some gas, and we are at the final episode next week.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, there's still a lot they haven't told us. With one episode left to go, I'm wondering how much they're going to keep for a second season. We still don't have the full story of the Battle of Finhau. Why did Leap Brannis and the other guy have their voice boxes taken out? We know that Leviathan uses, you know, the Black Widows in training. What was the real backstory with stealing all of the Stark devices? Was there a plan for them, or did they just want the angry murder gas? How does Roxxon Oil or the Roxxon Corporation figure into all of this? I don't know if they can tie up all these storylines in one episode.
Is it just a standard 1 hour episode too?
Yeah, it was only 8 hours, and they did the 2 hours the first week because of things, and then we missed a week because of the State of the Union address in America. Sorry, Neil. And
yeah, no worries.
Yeah, you just missed it because, haha.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, I think we're right there. And okay, so next week is, it'll be February 25th. So do we have, when's the premiere for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is that March 4th or 3rd?
No.
Or it's the 10th, it's, right?
No, it's the 3rd.
Okay. So we go bang, bang right into it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and you called it at the beginning. This is the penultimate episode. So that's 1 hour of TV to figure all this out and deal with Dottie and the Rage Angry Murder Gas.
So Adam in the chat brought up, he's saving our bacon tonight. He said the angry murder gas, quote unquote, was probably what caused the Finhau, or however it's spelled.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know who did that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Any other things up in the episode, guys?
The only other thing I had was they were questioning everything Peggy Carter said, and they never questioned whether or not that was really Cap's blood. Like, maybe it was just a fake that she was using to sell her story. They never considered that.
Yeah. True.
And the go ahead.
I was just going to bring up the ineptness of the scientists again, because we saw him with the blue flame and the green flame before.
I was just thinking they left it in a pretty dark place, you know, with the chief blown up, you know, committing suicide out the window, with Peggy Carter blaming herself, Jarvis sitting there blaming Stark, and everybody just kind of stunned. It'll be interesting to see the strength of character that these primary characters in the show us when they recover from this really quickly to go after Leviathan.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've definitely built it up, and they built it up a lot faster than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, was hamstrung by the whole Winter Soldier thing, so it probably went on half a season longer than it should have.
I think it would have worked out a lot better as a mid-season replacement show.
Yeah. So this was 7 episodes into it. Yeah. It's about right. About 6 episodes is when you can really get over the intro stuff and get into the show. So, lesson learned. Wait 6 episodes. It'll either get good or you should stop watching it.
Great. I think the last quote for me was Chief Dooley, and I think this goes on his tombstone. Does this stuff implode, explode, or spice up an old-fashioned?
Yeah, poor Dooley. I really got to respect the guy at the end, and he's just doing his best, and just best wasn't good enough. So hopefully the new kids will come in and do great stuff.
On his last day, he did give Peggy an attagirl. So we got that. Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to news this week. We got a lot of it. I was going to say a bad word, but since I have to bleep this cast, we have a lot of news. And the first news we have deals with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since it's coming back in 2 weeks. And it's casting news. Neil, you want to start up?
Yeah, sure. I think this news broke late last week that Adrian Palicki, who plays Mockingbird, has been bumped up to a show regular on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that's exciting because they've really built this character up. She's one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe because of her relationship with Hawkeye. But we know that she's been keeping secrets from the crew. We know that she's really kick-ass on the team. and the interactions with Hunter, just I just want more.
Right, and there's also that storyline of Hawkeye in there too, being the husband of Mockingbird in the comics. It hasn't really been alluded to in the show yet, but I think they could definitely bring that forward. So we'll see where they play that out.
And Haley, you haven't made it up to the West Coast Avengers in your read of all...
Not even close.
All things Marvel.
Not even close. That didn't come around to what, the mid-80s, late 80s?
Yeah.
Are you into 72 yet?
No.
All right. I'm jealous, by the way. I'm still on 62 or whatever that year was.
You know, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but it doesn't start getting consistently good until like 66, 67.
You told me that before, and maybe that's why I really haven't started in it in earnest, but who knows.
But 1967 and 1968, everything is really good except for Daredevil.
Except for Daredevil.
For some reason, Daredevil just, oh, it sucks so hard. I guess until the 70s when Frank Miller took over. That is how long Daredevil sucks.
Well, I'm planning on taking a few of them with me next week. So we'll see if I can get through three. That's my goal. Three. We'll see.
Wow. Yeah, I not to date myself here, but I remember picking up issue one of the West Coast Avengers and the Hawkeye limited series that was just him and Mockingbird that led up to spinning out the West Coast Avengers back in the early 80s. And I'm so happy to see the character of Mockingbird really get to shine in the Marvel Universe now. It's been a long time coming.
I am so jealous. And I'm jealous because I remember going by a comic book store in the local mall, which doesn't exist anymore, by the way. It was torn down, so I can't even go back and say, hey, that was the comic book store of my youth. No, I never went in there. It was right next to the movie theater in the arcade. I just never went in there. I'm just, I should have.
I'm jealous that you had a comic book store because I did not. The nearest comic book store for me growing up was like an hour away, so I didn't get to read comics as a kid.
It was more than an hour away on my bike, let me tell you, but in a car, it's like 5-10 minutes, go figure. Also, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news, and it doesn't look like this is going to be a series regular or anything, it looks like maybe it's just going to be one episode, but they cast, and can somebody help me with the name here, Drea DeMatteo?
DeMatteo. Oh my God. Yeah, you got it. Nailed it.
As Carla Faye Gideon, who is from the Daredevil universe, and I don't think this is by mistake.
No, they're going to try and start linking these shows together as soon as they can, just to keep their universe continuous.
Yep, I was wondering how much they were actually going to do that. I mean, this is an awful, we talked about it before, this is an awful lot of moving parts, and they're trying to keep it all together from the MCU down, and now they've got Sony to worry about, too. I mean, this is, at some point in time, you run out of chiefs to herd the cats here, but so far, it's working great. So, also, we had a couple of stories come out about Cap 3 Civil War, and Robert Downey Jr. has been at the center of all of this.
Yeah, it was really neat to see Robert Downey Jr. getting out there in front of the press and talking about this and some of the issues that he's been addressing of whether or not this is really an Iron Man story or a Cap story and whether he's the villain and how close to Civil War they're going to be sticking. And he came right out and said it. He said, ultimately, it's Steve's story. It's not Iron Man for Civil War. And I just think it's great to see the buzz picking up about this. And of course, as fans, we're all sitting here wondering, now with Spider-Man coming back into the fold, is this going to be a Spider-Man Civil War story? Are they going to stick with the government control theme? It's a great time to be a comic fan, especially if you're into the Marvel Universe.
It is. And for Robert Downey Jr.'s part, he's also had a couple of stories come out just in the last couple of days about how much he wants to participate in the universe going forward here. And he's like, well, by the time all the stuff that I'm working on now comes out, I'm going to be 50. I'm going to be promoting it and be 50. So he's got a shelf life, basically, is what he's saying. And I don't know how much further I can be involved here. And we talked about recasting before.
And I will say again that I think that's a terrible idea. Instead of recasting a character that has already had 8 movies or whatever to tell his story, bring in a new character. There's 50 years of source material with tons of characters. Explore somebody new.
The only thing that I can counter with that in my limited comic knowledge is that isn't Iron Man an integral part of the Earth Space series of comics where you start to transition into that world?
Not necessarily. I mean, for years and years, he wasn't even an Avenger. So you don't even need him for that part of the story.
Yeah, and there's so many great characters as part of the cosmic universe, like Nova, that we haven't even seen yet, that you can really build a franchise around. I'm not sure you need to go there. We could start bringing in characters like Moondragon. There's so many great celestial characters.
And Brand, the director of Sword.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you're big into possibly Sword coming into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, which that's still a possibility. We don't know.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, they might do some rebranding, get out ahead of some of their bad press.
Yeah, that could happen. You need to rebrand every once in a while. You need to have that good press because of all the terrible cities that they have destroyed.
Well, except if you're Hydra, because look, at Hydra spent so much branding all the lab coats and the wall placards and the pens and the binders.
And the coffee mugs.
Yeah, everybody's on a budget. And if you're Hydra at this point, that's it. Think about 2 or 3 years down the road, maybe a refresh. But right now, I think they're good.
Well, you got to go through at least, what, 2, maybe 3 Comic-Cons before you really rebrand? Because, I mean, you got the banners and stuff already. You got to reuse them.
True.
Not to mention, they've got the logo on the coffee maker, so...
Until the coffee maker dies. And if it's a Keurig, I guarantee you it will die within 2 years.
I've had mine for a little over a year now, and I love it so much. It's the magic coffee machine.
It is. You put it in a packet, and it's like a Star Trek. Okay, I'm going to go there, since you haven't seen it again. It's like a Star Trek replicator. It just, you know.
I know what the replicators are. I just haven't seen all the movies yet.
All right.
They're on the list.
You got to move it up the list, Haley.
Well, I'm working my way through the TV shows, too. I got to go through in order. I can't just, like, jump through the movies. Madness.
Are you doing the podcast with it, too?
No, I'm just... Well, and I've been working on this for, like, 6 years. So, it's not a real high priority. I'm, like, halfway through Next Gen.
Okay.
I'll get there. I'll get it done.
I can't throw too many spears because I've been trying to get through Buffy for about 3 years now, and I'm only on season 2, so...
Oh, season 2 gets good about 2/3 of the way through.
I'm on like episode 20 of season 2, so I'm
okay.
There.
Oh, well, yeah. And then season 3 is good pretty much all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. Haley, are you doing Star Trek chronographically in the order which they aired?
Yeah, I'm going by, well, I mean, the TV show just, you know, when it's on Netflix, and then the movies I'm sprinkling in as they came out.
You see, because you could actually move Enterprise to the front because in theory it came first.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe in that sort of nonsense.
I wouldn't do that if I was Haley.
I've always been a publication order, like experience the universe in the order that it was created.
And the simple problem is the original series was back so far and the technology and the uniforms and everything changed so much. You got to go through that. You got to get it out of your mind and you got to go forward with the new stuff. Okay, Adam in the chat said, Enterprise first is how I started my rewatch. I'm in mid-season 4 on The Next Generation now. So I'm assuming he did Enterprise, and then he did the original series, and now he's on TNG. So that is 4, 2, 6 plus 4. This is math on podcast. This is really good. It's 8 seasons he's in now. And there's like, I don't know, 20-some. So good luck, sir. All right, moving on into Daredevil.
Yeah, some really exciting news. We've got the titles for the first 3 episodes and the directors. The first 3 episodes are Into the Ring, which really makes sense if you know the character's history.
Yes,
then
yes,
Cutman and Rabbit in a Snowstorm, with directors Phil Abraham, whose pedigree includes directing Mad Men and The Sopranos, and Adam Kane, who's directed episodes of 24, Live Another Day, and Hannibal.
So, a guy that does period pieces and organized crime dramas, can't imagine why they'd pick him for Daredevil.
I don't know. It's such a weird matchup. I have no idea what Marvel has in store. It's funny.
Well, it's all darker. Hannibal's darker. Sopranos is darker. And that fits with the street level heroes.
Definitely.
It does. And there's what, 10 episodes, 13 episodes? I forget.
13, I believe.
13.
Okay. So... That's the first 3. Now we need the next 10. Actually, we need the series. So April 10th. I am seriously considering taking that day off. Okay. And then moving on, Samuel L. Jackson had a great interview.
Yeah. And again, he interviewed, I think, for Screen Rant and said how he's not ready to put down the eye patch yet. I think the last news we had that he only has 2 more episodes under contract. But he told MTV in another interview that he is totally cool playing Nick Fury as long as he's around, which is great news.
Yeah, I would rather see him in every movie than Robert Downey Jr. at this point. Him to just come in and be surly and scowl at everybody with his one good eye. It'd be great. Mm-hmm.
And it really depends on where his character goes. I mean, we're going to see how S.H.I.E.L.D. develops where, I mean, he's in hiding right now, basically. We'll see how it all shakes out and everything. I got to think he's going to be coming back either in Age of Ultron or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or both this spring. So we'll see how that goes.
He'll definitely be in Age of Ultron. I can't see them doing an Avengers movie without him. I don't know if they'll get him for another episode or not, but I hope so.
Yeah, and then also for Deadpool, we've got some casting news. Actually, some recently came out today, but we had some a couple of days ago, didn't we, Neil?
Yeah, we had Gina Carano from Fast and Furious announced as joining the cast, playing Angel Dust, who's a member of the Morlocks. And then we had Colossus casting news, but more negative casting news, because Daniel Cudmore, who's played Colossus in the last few X-Men movies, has confirmed that he's not in the Deadpool movie. So again, great to see the casting news start to pick up speed for Deadpool.
Right. And then also just today, Marina Baccarin, who's also on Gotham, which kind of baffles my mind a little bit. I think she's one of the few actresses or actors that have been able to cross between the two franchises, meaning DC and Marvel. She apparently is cast as the female lead in Deadpool. And amazing actress. Love her and everything she's been in. I have not seen Homeland. I want to, but I haven't seen it yet. But everything else, she's been great. In Gotham, she's just been knocking it out of the park. So can't wait to see her in this.
Yeah. On a personal note, I'm super excited for Deadpool, mainly because just like half the other superhero shows out there, they're filming in Vancouver. And you know, it's always cool when you see those signs or you can stumble across one of the superhero shows that's filming and kind of geek out on the sidelines for a bit.
Do they close down like the whole town for a day or two so all these shows can come in and film in their different neighborhoods or whatever?
Not that I'm aware of, unless there's been sleeping gas poured through all our mail slots and we just kind of stay home one day.
You just don't remember.
No, they just put up signs that say like road repaving or something and nobody's the wiser.
Yeah, chemical spill, please avoid.
Because I know in this week's Arrow, definitely it was a Starling City, aka Vancouver-centric episode. So between all the shows shooting in Vancouver and even on Sci-Fi with Rachel Nichols. I can't remember the name.
And you were a big fan of that one last season.
I still am, and they got their next season.
Continuum?
Continuum.
Yeah,
so Continuum is shooting there, and yeah, you're right. There's got to be at least like 12 different shows shooting there on any given day.
And, you know, a shout out to one of my favorite websites out there is YVR Shoots, just as it's spelled, .com. And as people around town see any movies or TV shows that are shooting, they'll post live Twitter updates and shots from all the sets. So great to kind of geek out and see what's going on in town.
Yeah, I need to get up there at some point in time, especially to see the sci-fi studios, which are outside of town. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a couple of major studios and sound sets that they work on, and a heck of a lot of BSG was shot up at one of our two local universities here, Simon Fraser.
I know. After Warehouse 13 and Eureka stopped filming, I didn't really think that sci-fi had a lot of stuff going on up there. Defiance is filmed in Toronto. So until this year, sci-fi is actually coming out with a lot of new series. I know most of them were filmed in the Vancouver area. I'd be excited to go up and see some of those sets.
Most of CW's stuff is shot there, isn't it, in Vancouver?
Yes.
Yeah, both The Flash and The Arrow, yeah.
Yeah, and isn't Supernatural done there as well?
Yep. Yeah, and made my pilgrimage out to the crossroads where they kept summoning the demons in the first few seasons, and that was fun.
So, what was your contract for?
You know, sadly, no one showed.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, what can you do?
Maybe you could try it again.
Now I'm stuck with this pesky soul.
So also, it's a shame that Lauren's not here because she was really into this. Fans are petitioning for Scarlett Johansson to be replaced in the Ghost in the Shell live action movie. And this is picking up steam. It's been out for a couple of days and more people are thrown on here. And the whole thing is that, you know, she's just not the right race really to be playing the role. I love Scarlett Johansson. She's great, but it's like, really? So I don't know if this is going to matter or not.
I mean, at this point, if they've cast the role, I can't imagine them changing their mind.
Yeah. But at least they're acknowledging it, but I don't even think they are. At least there's fan uprising against it. So
at least people are letting the studios know that it's not okay to continue whitewashing in all these films. Like, there are fantastic Asian actors and actresses out there, and they should be considered for roles that are, at their core, this one happens to be Japanese. You know, why isn't a Japanese woman cast in the role?
Yeah, and I went to the petition exactly as you said, Haley, and I read it myself, and yeah, that's what it says. There's so many great actors that and actresses that aren't getting the chances for these kind of roles, and yeah, it's kind of a shame.
You know, I saw a interview with, what's his name, the guy that played Rocket Raccoon. Oh, I'm doing great tonight. This is wonderful.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, I saw an interview with Bradley Cooper, and he was saying this week that every actor has, or actress or whatever, they have a price tag on them that studios will take a risk on. It's basically risk management. It's like, this name, this individual is worth X amount of money. So if I'm planning on throwing $20 million at an actor for this film, I need this sort of name. So they go down that list, right? And he was saying he was just lucky. He was blessed. I don't think that's the word he used, but he was lucky that somebody took a chance on him and he was able to capitalize on that. And that in this particular case, there's a lot of capable actors, actresses out there that could do this role, but they just don't have that dollar amount associated with their name. And I think in some cases, it's going to actually hurt the production. Whereas if they take a chance on a name that doesn't have that number associated with it, but is the right casting, like Star Wars is a great example, right? There's a bunch of unknowns, but they made some bank on that. So,
right. But I mean, at this point, Star Wars is going to make money no matter who they cast in those roles.
Right. I was referring to episode four of Star Wars. Yeah. Back in 78. Yeah. So, and they weren't expecting on making much money on that back then, but you have standouts like Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, it's a Marvel movie, but nobody thought that was going to do as well as it did. So, and you have people,
I did.
You have people like Chris Pratt in there that you'd be like, what? He's a
goofball from Parks and Rec.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Which, by the way, did you see the Parks and Rec episode last night, Haley?
The Johnny Karate one? Yes.
Awesome episode. Chris Pratt did amazing, and the whole cast really did amazing. It was great. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you have not seen any Parks and Rec, go ahead and see that one episode about Johnny Karate. It'll be amazing. All right, and then moving on, Mark Ruffalo had a couple of articles. I don't think there were a couple of different interviews. I think there were excerpts from the same interview, but he had a couple of things come out. One was that in Avengers Age of Ultron, he was talking about Hulk being used as an atom bomb, basically, in his capabilities, and the science bros that we like to call him and Tony Stark. So basically, Mark Ruffalo is saying that the Hulk, you can consider him like an atomic bomb in Age of Ultron. And he said that he has seen all the science bros thing on Tumblr, and he absolutely loves it. He thinks it's great. And he's trying to ham it up as much as he can in the movie. So that was pretty good. And then also he talked about potential Hulk sequel, saying there's nothing on the books right now. Let me be clear. There is nothing on the books, but there is going to be a lot of Hulk character development where the big guy and Banner are going to be able to control each other more and more and more. So that is what to look for in the Hulk. And Willie, yes, we know you like Hulk, just like Wing. So this will be good for you.
I still like Hulk better as a supporting character than trying to have him carry his own film. And I think that could be an excellent spot for him in the universe going forward.
Uh-huh. Just like Fury?
Yeah, I agree with Haley on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, and then something I saw just today, missed it a couple of days ago, is that Guardians of the Galaxy actually cast Kevin Michael Richardson as Groot in the animated series that will be airing on Disney XD. And did you guys get a chance to see the little YouTube video that was posted with this article? If you haven't, go ahead, go take a look at it. Kevin Michael Richardson comes out with the best I Am Groot. I'm not even going to pretend to do it. Go to this article, go see the video, and just listen to it. It'll be great. And then also, Big Hero 6 past Beauty and the Beast, becoming the third highest grossing Disney animated film. Let me be clear, this is domestic. This is not worldwide, and it is not adjusted for inflation, but it does show how well Big Hero 6 has done in the last year for Disney, and it's great. And then I also posted a link to the highest grossing animated films of all time, so you can see how many billions of dollars Frozen brought in, first of all. But you can see all the great lists there as well.
Imagine if they took into account the merchandising on these movies.
Oh, just... I know.
Wow.
Well, I mean, Disney had... They've closed a lot of them, but they had their own chain of stores in every single mall, right? It was just amazing. And the other reason I brought this story up, by the way, is that Big Hero 6 comes out on Blu-ray next Tuesday.
Woot.
So if you haven't seen it yet, this will be your chance. I've already pre-ordered my copy. It will be here Tuesday, and I will take it on my trip with me. Yay. And then also as a side note, you have a couple of weeks to order your Spider-Man jersey from Geeky Jerseys. I've talked about them before, geekyjerseys.com. I'm actually the geek of the month on there. So go there. You can see me in all my glory in my Star Wars Rogue Squadron jersey. But they have a Spidey jersey. It's only going to be for a couple of weeks. And then just a couple of days ago, they announced, it's like every time I'm like, okay, they're not going to have another jersey that I want to buy and I can save some money for a while. They came out with the Black Squadron jersey from Star Wars. I'm like, oh, now I got to get it. I got the Rogue Squadron one. I got to have the Black Squadron one so they can hang up next to each other and fight or something. So go Geeky Jerseys. That's plural with an S on the end. GeekyJerseys.com. And you can see all the great jerseys they have available. And I think right now, as we record this, it is only the Spider-Man jersey and the Black Squadron jersey. And then last week, they touched upon this. Operator definitely touched upon it. And the Legends podcast news stream last week. But I just wanted to mention it here. The original voice of Space Ghost, which was Gary Owens, he passed away after we recorded last week. I just wanted to tip my hat off to him. If you'd ever watched any of those Hanna-Barbera cartoons, you would have seen him. He's been a staple. Space Ghost has been for decades and decades. And that is... definitely sad to see him go. All right, moving on back into Marvel-specific news. We have some casting in X-Men Apocalypse.
Right. Well, now we know Nightcrawler is definitely going to be in this film, a young Nightcrawler. And Cody Smit-McPhee has been cast in the role.
Awesome. Has he been in anything else that I would know?
He was in The Road, which I never saw the movie because the book was depressing enough. And then Let Me In. Which I also have not seen.
Yep, haven't seen either.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool because the current run of the Nightcrawler comic, while it's coming to an end right now, has really got some critical review and comment out there. And it's capitalizing on the crossover between what's going on in the comics and getting some news out there with casting is good news for X-Men Apocalypse as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And finally, Haley, I think I saw this story, but I'm going to let you talk all about our wonderful Funko stuff.
More Funko stuff to take all my money.
I know.
And just loads and loads and loads of it. So they've got a new line of toys called Dorbs, as in Adorbs, which is short for adorable. So, and this new line is going to have characters from DC Comics and Marvel Comics. And they've got characters and villains from X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Deadpool, Batman, and Robin. And just in the picture, you can definitely see Magneto and Wolverine and Deadpool, Beast, Scarlet Witch, Mystique, Gamora, The Collector, Drax, Groot, Rocket, Ronan, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, Spider-Man. And I think that is a... that might be Ghost Rider there. I can't tell.
That's
sure.
What I was thinking. I think it's Ghost Rider up there.
Yep, it's Ghost Rider.
That is the creepiest version I think I've ever seen of him, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is great. You know, I don't know anything about this toy fair, but I still want to go next year. So, they are adorable.
Would you say they're dorbs?
I would say they're dorbs, and I'm just looking. My eyes are transfixed on the Rocket Raccoon and Groot right now. I think those will be must-haves for me. Which would be must-haves for you, Haley, looking at these pictures?
Well, I think I definitely need a Mystique.
Uh-huh. She's looking good.
What, the half ahead of her you can see?
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to see, like, what the whole line is going to be so I can start making my decisions.
Mm, right. Well, I can only assume they have these toy fairs, like, now so that they can come out in late summer for Christmas time frame.
Oh, they come in different sizes, too.
Oh.
There's going to be miniature, medium, and deluxe.
Ah.
So you could get the miniature Rocket and the deluxe Groot, and then they might be close to the right scale.
You know, I thought I saw a picture of a deluxe Rocketeer figure on one of the stories that I read about this. That would be awesome. I would love to have a Rocketeer figurine.
I think the Dorbs Star-Lord is pretty cool, actually. There's a little mask in the background there.
Yeah. Do you have any Pop Funkos, Neil?
You know, I've been holding out until the Arrow Funkos finally hit the stores later this year.
I was holding out, and then the Back to the Future DeLorean and Marty went on sale. And I was like, oh, I can't pass this up. So that's my first one. Although I did sign up for the Marvel Crate, so I'm expecting some coming later this year.
I've resisted the temptation, but I'm probably going to have to do that.
Yeah, and like I said before, there may or may not be a donated Marvel Crate to give away in the podcast, so stay tuned. Little teaser there.
Am I eligible to enter?
I think your brother would be.
He doesn't need it.
So you can have him win it, and then you can beat him up and take it from him.
He's bigger than I am now.
Well, you can construct a trebuchet and take him out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Can he withstand the full-on Nerf assault?
No one can withstand my rain of foam darts.
Let me tell you, I had to hide behind a couple of chairs last year at Geekation because I was not expecting that level of Nerf gun fight. I have armed myself if I go this year. I have armed myself appropriately, and there will be retaliation. Just saying.
The first time I shot somebody in the eye last year, it was an accident. My bad. But after first, that, not so much an accident.
It was like, ooh, I can do this? I'm that good of an aim? Yeah, right. It was fun. All right, we have a couple of voicemails this week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, agents, it's Adam. I have to say that the scene with the table in the interrogation room is probably my favorite scene in the entire series, especially with how they paralleled the two possibilities if there were people in the other room. Also, with as many of Howard's inventions as that have side effects, maybe his last name should be Fargo instead. Well, only 2 more weeks till Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets back, so really looking forward to that. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Adam, I love that voicemail so much because of the Warehouse 13 reference in there. And yes, we need more Dr. Fargo around. Absolutely.
I think I forgot to mention this earlier, but I think Peggy Carter commissioned the slingshot because of Howard Stark.
Oh.
Like, it's entirely his fault.
Yeah, probably.
And when she was in charge, they actually used it.
Right. Well, there's a whole bunch of we still haven't gotten a renewal notice on this, and we talked about it in the last couple of podcasts. Are they going to wrap everything up, or are they going to have little bits and pieces out there? And we also talked about the possibility of having flashbacks, right, during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back to Agent Carter and integrating the two series into one, and that would be awesome to get more Howard Stark's inventions and misdeeds and stuff like that. And there's got to be an awful lot of tension right now because he didn't answer Jarvis's phone calls, basically hung Carter out to dry. So, and who knows what's going on in Finnow. So, got all that going. Thank you again for the voicemail, Adam. And we have one more voicemail. You guys ready?
Yep.
I cannot believe it. The impossible has happened. The girls are actually entertaining the idea that Sitwell may be alive. I cannot believe what I heard. Ah, that's the whole reason I wanted to call tonight is I'm still in shock. And the fact that Howard the Duck and Incredible Hulk is not on the top of everyone's Marvel list is ridiculous. And that's number ones. There's no number twos. Those are just number ones split. There you go. And thank you, SP, for all your kind words. My wife says you're awesome back at you. Thank you, guys. Fan and friend of the show out. Willie, you know.
Yeah, thank you very much for saying that, Willie. I appreciate it. I'm glad my $1,000 check to you actually paid off.
Willie, I'm sorry you got hit in the head with a rock last week. I guess you're still a little confused.
Yes, I was shocked as all get out when they said they would accept Sitwell coming back, but they also said...
I did not say that. Yeah, Lauren said
no,
that.
No, you both said you would accept it if...
No, I didn't. Yes, no, Lauren did.
No,
Lauren said that. Go back and listen.
I listened to it about 5 times when I was editing, and I remember it. You guys both said you would agree with it if you could bring back What's his name?
No, I said I knew what she was going to say.
All right.
And I did, because I'm a mind reader.
Well, now you're going to make me go back and put a sound card on and play it for you in 2 weeks when I come back. But there you go. Yeah, so Sitwell, the Howard the Duck, it... Willie, I'm glad you have my copy. I really am, because I don't want it in my house anymore. It was an okay watch, like once for old time's sake, but after that, you know, it's all you, Willie. I'm so glad you have it, because I know you're watching that thing over and over and over again. Willie. We love you, Willie. Thanks for the voicemail. All right. You guys have anything else for this week?
I think I've said everything that needs to be said.
I don't think there's anything else left to say.
Yeah, all right. Well, go ahead. You can contact us on all the means, Twitter, Facebook. You heard a couple of voicemails. We do have a voicemail line. It's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. And I just can't wait to see the bus again, because that thing is cool. So go ahead, give us a call, 844-THE-BUS-1, and tell us how you like the Agent Carter penultimate episode. Tell us how you like the final episode. Go ahead. We also have a live Mixler chat. It's going as we record, usually about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We started a little bit late today, but 9 o'clock is about what it's going to be. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that next week, but in 2 weeks, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, we will definitely be live on Mixler, so you can join us there. We have a Tumblr. We have a YouTube channel, which will definitely be updated before I leave. And we have forums on the Gunna Geek Network. That's forums.gunnageek.com. So again, thank you all for your feedback, for your interactions. I took over for Lauren live tweeting last night, and definitely you guys saved me. I didn't. I hope I was entertaining, but I don't think I have the Lauren touch when it comes to Twitter. So she will definitely be back during the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and live tweeting there. So thank you, everybody, for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yep.
And Neil, thank you very much for joining us, for stepping in at the last minute. We really appreciate you coming on and taking the spot of the venerable Lauren for a week. I'm glad that that was able to happen.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. I mean, you are my source for all things MCU, and it was great to be able to hop on and talk about such awesomeness with you guys.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, now that you've invaded two podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network, are you going to try to make the rounds, trying to get on in several different ones? Maybe a Flash podcast that may or may not be on the network?
There's rumors. We'll have to wait and see.
I don't know if you've heard, the network's kind of incestuous. Once you're with one, you got to be with all of them.
We'll definitely see, but Haley, if you could use a stand-in sometime, more than happy to.
We'll look into that.
All right. So, this is it for episode 61 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Neil.
Bye, see you next week.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.